of a friggin' liar. Pelican with some very soft mangoes.
Alrighty. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Unfixed, the first of a new style from here in Dublin, Ireland. You may know us from our years at La Roche College, and now we are rocking it from a DIY studio here in leafy, viney, ivy-covered suburban Dublin. And I'm here with not our Honorable Sam Wilson any longer. We are here with, we hope to have him back on the show for sure. We'd like to get that going, working out the kinks. As of right now, we are here with my main man, Toby Hallam.
Hi, very excited to be here.
Toby sounds extraordinarily excited to be here. So sure, as we said, used to be on the radio at La Roche College in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for a long, long while. You can check out those old episodes if you want. Now keeping it real from here in Dublin. So Toby, how we doing?
Well, doing all right. It's just another year here rather than in a different college.
That's how it goes. Wait, you're here though? Wait, rather than a different college, in what way? What do you mean?
Well, you said La Roche College, and now we're at a different college, at Trinity College.
Well, we're not actually in Trinity, though. But that's why we know each other.
Certainly, yes.
Yes, through my whole life revolves around the university, I swear to God. Anywho, man, what do we got coming up in the first hour?
Well, let me have a look at my list here. In the first hour, we're going to start off with what might be called some typical or topical banter. We're going to sort of chat about a few things. And then going on to the fact that earlier today, Adam had a voicemail.
Yes, I did receive a voicemail, and I'll be explaining that. I'll get to it in a moment. And then who do we have on the show today?
Well, that's quite exciting. We have a very special guest from Philadelphia. A good friend of ours. We've seen him a few times over the past couple of years. The Bull Bay.
That's right. The Bull Bay, live in the studio today here on Unfixed. All right. So, yeah, man. I mean, I'll tell you what. Listen, me and Amir, a.k.a. The Bull Bay, Philadelphia rapper, went up to Belfast, and we went out. And I'll tell you what, I am feeling the fear today. Something fierce, man.
Oh yeah, the fear. This is this thing where you sort of have a heavy drink and then you're like, oh my fucking god.
Sure. So the nervous system is stressed out. We've been poisoned, and every little thing feels anxiety provoking. Actually, there's nothing to provoke anxiety at all, but the anxiety is there nonetheless. So I find the brain just searches for something to worry about.
Was this because you were in Belfast and you had a drink and then you got the fear, or was the fear only only in Belfast?
No, the fear is ongoing. I remain suffering from the fear as of right now.
So was there also some exciting sort of Game of Thrones castle visiting when you were in Belfast as well?
We went on the city tour. So we went around and we saw the peace walls, as they're called. We saw the murals. We saw the jail. We saw the prison.
So some troubles, rubble, I suppose.
Trouble, rubble, absolutely. Rubble, rubble. All right, listen, so that voicemail you mentioned, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I have been, I don't know if you know this, Toby. I'm a published author.
What?
Autobiography.
Oh, my goodness.
Called Up and Adam.
Why haven't I had a copy of this?
Amazon.com, man.
Oh, I don't buy books off of Amazon.
Yeah, it's silly, right? No, there's no Kindle version either. It's in the Stone Age. So, listen, first book, met with moderate mixed reviews. It's called Up and Adam, Story of My Life. About the various bands I've been in, by trials, tribulations, you know, it's my excitement.
Yeah, I've heard a couple of these bands, trials and tribulations.
You've heard of both? So what happened is that the person who I got involved with to publish the book, my publisher, he calls, and I started deliberately, because this guy's such a character, right? He's this wacky, quirky, nervous in the service guy.
Oh my god, where did you find him?
It was a web search, Google.
Yeah.
I typed in, I think publish.
Yeah, I think so. Well, Google would understand.
Sure. And, so he got back to me and actually left me a voicemail. And the voicemail was so entertaining, we started playing it on the show. Became a bit. So the thing is now I avoid the guy's calls so that I have the voicemail so I can play them here on Unfixed for the benefit of the listeners.
And
without further ado, I believe we are going to get to a publisher voicemail. Haven't spoken to the man in a long time. I have not listened to this voicemail. I do not know how long
it is.
You're
still on retainer, eh?
Well, I'm trying to get another book going.
Oh, right.
So we're back in contact, you see.
It's going to be about your other bands.
It's about everything. It's about my entire life experience, the ups and downs, The wait, was it not trials and tribulations, but the wait, fibulations and the miles. Ladies and gentlemen, the publisher here on Unfixed.
This is your publisher, Adam. I'm just calling to leave a voicemail there, because I received a package there from you on my front stoop the other morning. And, wow! I haven't heard from you in about 10 years now, I think, there, Adam. Ever since we were working on your book, the Up and Adam book there 10 years ago. And what a surprise, Adam. I didn't know what had become of you ever since you abandoned me at the industry function there, your big coming out party as the author of the book there. And then they had to set out into the world to try to find you there. And we had lots of mishaps and some incarcerations. And, you know, I was just never able to reach you. And I thought, well, wow, what happened to my relationship with Adam there? And so I kind of had to put you out of my mind there for a decade or so. And then I find this package, and I open it up, and I see that your contact information is there as the return address there in the Ireland there. So you were in Ireland, I see. And I'm digging through the box and, you know, a little bit angry about this. But then I see some nice gifts there that you left for me. I see a bottle of Manischewitz wine. And a box of King Edward cigars with the cellophane ripped off and two cigars missing there. But that's okay, because I dug into those things last night, and I'm a little bit hungover this morning. You know, but I started to feel a little bit okay about the whole thing. And so I went down and I found your book there in the bottom of the package. And I said, wow. But a book there from Adam. Well, let's maybe just see a little bit what it's about there. So I started to read it, and wow, Adam, you're writing again. I don't know what to say. I'm a little bit interested maybe in this project. It's very very different from your other book. But it's the same too. It's biographical a little bit there, but it's also psychological. Ever since you went to school there in the Ireland, I see you're doing something with the psychology there. And so I thought I'd give you a little call and maybe talk about what's in the book. Maybe give you some feedback and see where this goes. See if you maybe want to. Get back in touch with me for the first time ever, okay? So let's just see some of your titles here, your proposed titles, okay? Your first one here, Adam, with an N at the end. Yeah, that's pretty interesting there, Adam. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that before, and we might want to keep that one there in our back pocket as a possible keeper, okay? Check this out. I'm not a fan of that one, okay? Dr. Fucking Ireland, that might be a title that we can work with, possibly. You know, we'll see where that one goes, see if there's any appeal there. We'll do a test market thing there with that one. And The Big Shocker is your final idea, which is great. It's just a great book title, but it delivers a promise that so far... the book doesn't seem to keep there, Adam, especially since the book ends in mid-sentence at a dinner scene at a pub. Okay, so if you want to go with that title, we're going to maybe have to do a little editing work there on on the book. Okay, so I wanted to talk about some of the psychological stuff here real quick. I see you have a theory here about psychosocial stages there, which I think is Erickson or Longshanks. I can't remember the guy, but it starts out with two that were part of his scheme there, trust versus mistrust, and autonomy versus shame and doubt. Okay, those are Longshanks there. And then we get into some more novel ones there that I've never seen before. A chicken versus beef is your stage. And these are the stages that we all go through in life. And, you know, I would agree with that one, actually. It's a little bit unusual there. But, you know, I remember having to make that decision at a certain point. And I got a little nervous when I read your list because... you know, I don't know that I've ever successfully passed through that stage. I like chicken and beef. But I wanted to know about sauces, because now, do those have sauces on them, Adam? Because I do like some A1. And I'm also a fan of honey mustard. And who doesn't like barbecue there? So these are some details that we might want to flesh out in the paragraphs about that in the book. Okay, and now we're going to move on to stages 4 through 8. You have identity or yelling, shaking hands, / intercourse, smoke break, pocket lint versus mad coin. And story time, which is age 65 through death. That's all very unique there, Adam. We could talk about how to flesh some of those out. I might want to see some research, you know, some if you've seen any, done any studies that might prove the merit of your theory there. Okay. I have some questions. You know, are we to assume that all yelling people have identity confusion, or that every person who is uncertain about a career path is just yelling constantly? Because in my experience, people who are yelling are typically very certain. You know, if you just take it back to the chicken versus beef question. And maybe imagine, a restaurant scene here. It's hard to imagine a person yelling about their indecision. I can't decide about the goddamn chicken Alfredo and the goddamn beef Wellington. It's not something that you're likely to hear there in the restaurant. Yeah, but you can imagine somebody screaming, what the hell is this? I asked for extra onions. On my beef there. You can imagine that. He's certain about what he asked for, and therefore he's yelling. So that's something we're going to want to maybe get a little deeper there into. Okay? Now you have a section about consciousness there. You say it's one of life's great mysteries, which I would agree with. But then you say, quote, what if I told you that you're not conscious at all? In 2011, I attained real consciousness, and that's underscored, Adam, for 8 minutes and 14 seconds, and trust me, you're not. Sorry, but we can talk about it. That's a little bit maybe confrontational there, Adam. Might want to tone down some of the language. And of course, I also do want to know what you're talking about there. Maybe some tips for attaining this higher plane of consciousness, which, you know, it seems like a twist on Buddhism there a little bit, that maybe you've caught a glimpse of something that the rest of us mere mortals can't hope to see. And, you know, if you might provide a roadmap for getting there, I think that might make the book a little better rather than just to insult people and move on. Okay, now you also talk about the female mind in a dating section there. Now, that's very interesting. That's psychology, too. Yeah. You say to approach women from the side always, okay? You say, quote, for they are constantly being pursued by aggressive male animals. Should she reveal her name, it becomes possible to occupy other positions within the three-dimensional space matrix there. Some thinkers suggest standing directly behind the woman at all times until her name is revealed is a workable way to go. And I don't think this section. I don't want to talk about this just yet, Adam. I think I need to consult with maybe our graphics design guy, Rico, who's in a new metal band, and I've heard him talk about women a couple times before. And you know, people tell me that. Being well-read can be a turn-on to women. If you know Hemingbone, if you know F. Scott Hubbard or Favre Kafka, who is a great writer who also has a fantastic arm, I'm told, that's the thing that will get you a lot of interesting looks there when you're out on a date. I just wanted to touch briefly on some of the things in the book, and so that's what I've done, and I want to thank you for the gifts, and I enjoyed them very much. If you want to get back to me, we can see if we could, rekindle a working relationship there in some form or another, but I'm just really surprised to hear from you, Adam. And I'm glad to see that you're writing again, a book, because it's a special thing when people can write books. And so I do want to encourage you in that. But I also want to encourage you to, actually give me a phone call at some point here. I've never spoken to you before. Okay, Adam. Well, I'm going to hope for the best here. You have a good day. Goodbye.
And so, your inaugural visit, Toby, with my publisher, the publisher, and he made some valid points. And I think I've got to do some thinking on some of the stuff he said.
Wow, shit, I still can't believe you're a writer, Adam.
Hey, man.
I haven't read that first one. That's must have been a real impactful book. 10 years later, still willing to have a phone call with
you. I would love to be able to recommend it, but I can't.
No?
Not especially, man. I gotta tell you, I used to do this show quite a bit, and I have to tell you, I feel like a train that has not... You're a train fan.
Yeah, I love steam trains. So,
people who know you well know how much you love your trains, and I feel like a train that has not been run in 10 years.
Oh, right, you have to get a new boiler certificate or something like that.
That's exactly
otherwise, it's illegal to run on the mainline.
Precisely. That was the metaphor I was going to use, in fact.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, yeah, amazing to hear the publisher's voice again. My publisher, the publisher.
Is he always having a sort of slight fit? Is he sort of like twitching? I don't know. You've never met him, I guess.
I've never met him in person, but I will tell you that I do worry about him from time to time. He sounds a tiny bit down. Maybe that's just projection, man. Maybe I'm just talking about myself.
Maybe he was. I mean, maybe the answer is in the fact that he's come back to you after 10 years' time and he's still willing to talk turkey, or rather, chicken and beef, about your book.
Right. Our relationship's been contentious at the best of times. So,
I guess if anyone out there is looking for a publisher, then they should just go onto Google and look up publisher.
Or contact us. We don't have a great deal of contact information going right now. I mean, typically you'd be able to say, hey, contact us at unfixed@gmail.com. No, that's gone. That's been gone.
Just contact us at this abandoned bar that's been turned into a radio studio.
Take a piece of paper, write what you want to say to me on it, wrap it around a rock and throw it outside. And there's a damn good chance that I'm going to find that.
Irish politics.
I'm all over the place. Speaking of which, big election recently, Erection Day, as they say, in the Orient, and that's actually a B94 Pittsburgh FM joke from the 80s.
Well, that's exciting.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, well, I got at least 4 mailing, individual people's mailing certificates, voting tokens that I could have taken up and voted for, but I was away as well.
Oh, yeah. That's what all that stuff was.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. They don't check IDs really here.
No. You just have to swear on the Bible or possibly
the tricolor.
A
bottle of Bushmills.
Yeah, a bottle of Bushmills. That's actually politically incorrect.
Wait, well, no, yeah, Jameson's. It's Prady whiskey, as they say. I actually was told that at a bar. I'm like, man, you got any Bushmills? He goes, we don't serve Prady whiskey here. This was...
so you had to drink Powers.
The Gypsy Rose on the Keys, everybody. Send your complaints to the Gypsy Rose on the Keys.
Or any other shitty bar that you don't like.
Excuse me. Good Lord. I had a cold for a month, man. Did you have that cold?
No, I didn't have that cold. I've seen people falling down left and right, but I seem to have survived so far.
You know, we have the Bull Bay in the green room right now.
Oh my God, yes, that's fantastic. Straight over here from America.
I think, yeah, all the way from America, Booyakasha, I think we should call him right on in. As long as everyone's out there is ready, because I'm getting ready to talk to our guest here. So we're gonna bring him in just a sec. Sound okay to you? You okay with that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'll go and make the walking up the stairs sound while
get
I go
get the
and,
producer.
While I go and get it. Oh, the producer. See you at the publisher. Yeah. Word.
Here we go again, where I'm from, man, the people is as cold as the wind. If you say the wrong thing, you'll be holding your chin. Niggas sucking in their chain, cause they know what it is. And women hold down two jobs just to hold up their sons. They holding down the world, but they never hold their tongue. Like you a lying ass, dirty ass, cheating ass, stinky ass, ugly ass, crusty ass, dusty ass, bitch. They get their heart broke from these lying ass men. They run around the streets just lying to their kids, it's real, man. I'm from the unpaid pavements, the light bills kept cause of the unpaid payments. They shooting at the cops, the public transportation. It's been this way since I was jumping on a mattress in every block party. Swear it's like a classic. The drill team is jamming. Your drunk uncle was dancing like, yeah, I tell him.
Where I live, you better lock it, yeah. The
single from the latest record, Shaking Hands, Kissing Babies, that is Where I'm From. You can get it on Spotify. You can get it on iTunes, I think. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bull Bay here in the studio.
Hey.
What is up?
Nothing much, man. I'm really happy to be here. And, you know, it's always a fun trip out, and even more so now.
Thanks for getting hammered with me. I appreciate the hangover.
Thank you for, being I don't know, my wingman. Were we wingmen?
No. There was nothing worth winging for us.
Yeah, there was... Thank you for, I guess, just
I think you were attracted to
present.
When we went to the jazz club, I think you kind of liked the singer a little bit.
The singing was nice. You said, was I attracted to it?
Yeah.
I don't believe you guys went to a jazz club without me.
It's really jazzy.
Well, I mean, hopefully.
It had its moments. So, yeah, Amir, you've been over here. Sorry, Bull Bay.
You call me Amir.
I can call you Amir. A.K.A. Amir Richardson. We met each other through La Rose College. You've been on the show. Friend of the show. You know Unfixed very well.
Yes.
What do you think of the new setup, man? What do you think of the new studio? What do you think of our new digs?
I like it.
I'm freaking out. I'm having existential anxiety, and I'm freaking out.
Chill. Three deep breaths.
Three? Hold on. Right. Shit. Hold on. All right. There you go. I got this mm-hmm. piece. All right, man. So what have you been up to? What's new? What's good, Miley?
What's good? I've been good. I'm working on some new music. I'm constantly promoting Shaking Hands, and so that's never ending. That's always going to be the case up until...
We were promoting Shaking Hands, shaking babies, kissing hands...
And killing babies.
killing
stabbing
babies.
Stabbing
Shaking and killing babies up in Belfast, Northern Ireland, just 24 hours ago.
Yeah, maybe even less? No?
Well, at this stage in the game, I do not know what time it is, man.
How are you promoting it? Were you just, like, grabbing people on the street and shouting at them, you know, listen to this guy? Or?
Yeah, pretty much just drunk, you know, yelling at people, I'm a rapper.
Apparently, I've heard that one before.
That's exactly what happened, apparently. I'm kind of, like, remembering bits and pieces of it. But no, actually, I ran into a good friend of mine, oddly enough, from Philadelphia. He's out here touring with Adele. And so that was a very interesting encounter. But it was good just to kind of like see a random face on the other side of the world.
And after you went to bed, I kept thinking you were there again because he has your accent. He speaks similar to you.
Did he say, was it water?
He just kept talking. I'm just like, geez, I'd look over and I'm like, motherfucker. So I just keep thinking Amir's here because you kind of sound like him. He did kind of sound like you.
Yeah. Tones and accents and things like that.
I don't know a lot.
He was whispering
guys
in your ear at night? I don't understand this story, I think.
Yeah, we wound up in a little bit of a twister kind of a pretzel, you know?
Oh, right, right.
Odd sleeping arrangements.
You know what I mean. You've been to Belfast every single time.
Always a twister in
whose
Belfast,
body am I touching right now? Yeah. It's dark. Mm. Who gives a shit, right?
Those streets are alive.
Yeah. If there's one thing that Belfast has got, it's a nightlife. Honest to God.
Dude, it was kind of tragic, I'm not going to lie. We were, it was 9 o'clock and barely able to find...
Yeah, begging for a restaurant to serve us something to eat and then... Anything. Yeah, sure. I got shot off at the bar as well. I'm like, she's like, that's enough. And I'm like, oh, wait. She's like, no. Hence how I'm feeling today. It has been a lovely little ride, man. So effectively, we drove, what, 2 hours each way to get drunk in some other Irish city.
Yeah, and I feel like at this point I've been drunk at each region of this country.
Maybe four Irish cities.
You've hit many counties.
I've seen a lot of it. I can't say I've seen it all.
The cardinal directions.
Isn't that what all traveling's about, really? Just, you know, fly to another place, get drunk, come home.
Yeah. Food's been good. I had some, like, at one point of one of my trips out here, I had some authentic Irish lamb stew of something.
Wait. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Put the sheep in the water and you boiled it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Hot sheep water.
Some potatoes.
Yeah, we rocked the fish and chips a couple times up north.
Yeah,
and you said one of them actually managed to screw up fish and chips.
No. You misheard me. Amir's sandwich was underwhelming. They didn't. Yeah. Mine was fine because it's really hard to screw up fish and chips.
Yeah, very difficult. Yeah.
Bottom line. So, Amir, Toby said, how are you promoting shaking hands and kissing babies?
Well, I mean,
isn't that kind of the mantra of the thing is that you're out there shaking hands and kissing babies?
Yeah. You know, the project's called Shaking Hands and Kissing Babies, not for any real political reasons or anything connected to it. It's just I realized that my success up until this point, or any point past this point, is going to be people driven.
So, like, face to face, one on one.
Yeah, like, you know, my music is, I think my music's awesome, but I don't think I don't think I'm gonna write anything that's gonna blow somebody's brain out the back of their skull and be like, oh my god, I love you. And you know, I think what's gonna happen is my relationship and connections, genuine ones too, not just like shallow what can I do for you kind of a thing, but genuine connections are going to kind of like carry me through, and it has been so far. So I titled it that, and I've been promoting it honestly like this, talk about it. I mean, I'm an independent artist, so I'm constantly racking my brain as to how can I promote, how can I market this, where's my niche group, who do I need to target and focus on, and that stuff is a mindfuck, to be perfectly honest with you. And the basis that I've come to, like, you know, the foundation of it all, is just talk to people. Tell them.
Grassroots promotional sort of approach. Yeah.
Just tell people about yourself and who you are and stuff like that.
So you're sort of getting down to that in Belfast, and you said that you remembered some of the details afterwards.
Yeah, some of the details.
So possibly blackout promotions might be the strategy.
Blackout promotions.
That's actually not a terrible name for a label.
No.
It's a little too accurate, sadly.
Yeah,
the young woman who was serving us in the jazz club subscribed to you on Spotify, so.
Yeah. And so
One at a time,
and it's always worth it just to kind of like have good, genuine human conversations and interactions.
I hate that, actually.
I'm legitimately in the process of turning myself into a product, and I understand that, and I'm comfortable with that. That's fine. But
personal brand, they say sometimes.
We'll be able to buy you in the store soon.
Yeah, you know, my face on something. We seen Bob Marley on an energy drink can.
That was
fucked.
That was honest to Christ. What did you say about that? What was it called? Well, hold on. What was it called again, please?
Mango.
That was the flavor.
Did it have the Rastafarian colors on it?
I think it did. And then it was another. So it was mango berry, and then it was a there was a flavor called One Drop. I guess it was kind of trying to be like One Drop, Love or something like that.
It
was
have the beer can flavor.
It was terrible. We need to stop the accent.
One of us does. It may or may not be Toby. You know, One Love, one shitty energy drink from Centra.
My God. It was
Centra.
Only the finals.
So yeah, no, I'm turning myself into a product, and I understand that. I'm comfortable with it. But it's really good to have those interactions that are genuine, and to try to make the foundation of what I'm doing very, very genuine, very, very personal, all that good stuff, you know. So
you're saying you were trying to write some more stuff before. How does that sort of How does that process go? I mean, how do you sort of, you know, start doing that?
I mean, kind of like anything that you might be excited about, you just got, first I have to get excited, right? So I need to see, hear, feel, be around something that has excited me enough to like, okay, I want to write about this, or I want to talk about this. So,
or I want to fuck this.
Or I want to fuck this. Or I'm egg, I don't know. You just got to get excited. So first off, get excited, get a boner. that's okay. How I write. Yeah. Make sure I get a boner. And then, I don't know, a lot of it isn't really this well thought out thing. It sounds corny, but it just comes to me. There is definitely a focus. I certainly, sometimes I write to music, sometimes I don't. But in any case, I'm still more or less in an empty space and I focus. I do a lot of pacing.
So you sort of sit down and you actually start to write, because I often sort of have these ideas after the fact. It's just like, oh, I said something quite good earlier. And
Hold on to it. There's times.
Well, that's easier said than done.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, there's times when I come up with a great line, bar, idea, concept, I don't know, creative thought, and I just hold it. And sometimes it doesn't come out fully and all together. And what I do is I just kind of put it in storage in my mind. And come back to it at a later time. Some, it's funny how creativity works. I'm sure we all have our experiences with it. Sometimes it's crazy easy, and it's like, wow, I just wrote 5 songs, you know, just like that. Sometimes it takes months, weeks, maybe even a year to write a song. I've actually been working on this one particular song called Math Problems. I came up with this concept. So the concept is, you know, I'm not particularly good at math. That wasn't my favorite subject, in school, and I'm not necessarily particularly good with women. Like, you know, with the women, I'm not like the suave guy. And so,
what, you're not? Yeah. Oh my god, my whole turned upside down. I don't understand anything about anything.
any case, so I was just like drawing the parallels, you know, of my the anxiety that I would feel when I had to take a math exam, the pressure, the complete cluelessness.
It's called math anxiety. Supposedly it's a thing.
I need to look into that. I wish I would have looked into that. It would have maybe helped with this little process. So in any case, I came up with that concept way back when we were both at La Roche. That's how long I sat on a concept. And then like over the years just built on it. And so now I have the lyrics, but I still don't have, like, so this song isn't recorded at all. It's just a song that I'm sitting on. And I haven't recorded it at all, and I'm still kind of like arranging the music, arranging the sounds, and trying to build upon it. But when you think about it, it's a long time to have an idea for a song.
So do you work with a producer, or are you writing your own beats? I mean, what kind of software are you using?
I record if I have a choice.
Keep it simple. Don't nerd out on me.
No, no, no. Trust me. The thing about it is, I'm a real caveman with all this music. I feel like when I go to studios and I'm sitting down with sound engineers and producers and musicians and, like, you know, the guy, Eddie, his name's Eddie, the guy that we met last night was from Philadelphia and touring. Sure, yeah. So when I run into guys like him, he'll nerd out for sure. I'm just like, I can rap. You know, not trying to downplay it. That's a skill as well. But, you know, I can't nerd out. That's pretty much my point. I record on, what's it called? I'm not Logic.
Ableton?
A computer?
Pro Tools.
Sorry. Pro Tools, sure.
Yeah, sorry. Pro Tools is the preferred thing. You know, it's industry standard. It's used for commercials and
goddamn
movies.
Goddamn normies.
Right? But I have recorded on Logic, and I probably will record on Logic in the future. It's not a terrible program at all. I'm a scavenger. I don't work with anyone. Excuse me. That's a lot of beer we had earlier. Sorry.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, so I don't work with anyone exclusively. That's not necessarily by choice. It's just how it's worked out.
Can I ask you this, please? Who produced Shaking Hands, Kissing Babies?
It's a collection of, I want to say, 5 producers. So where I'm from, the lead single and a number of other songs on the project is produced by a good friend of mine, Clark Kennedy. We both grew up together from Philadelphia. Work Out the Kinks is produced by another good friend of mine, Chris Acree. He doesn't even have like an alias or any kind of handle.
Just Chris Acree sounds like a celebrity, though. The celebrity, yeah, that I don't really know very well, but I've heard of once or twice.
He's awesome. And the thing about it too is, like, you know, he's a drummer. He makes beats. I didn't know that. We were sitting around. Probably
he was a drummer. He didn't know he made beats.
Yeah, I mean, well, sometimes you know, it doesn't mean, you know, one has nothing to do with the other sometimes. It's weird. In any case, he played some beats. I was surprised that they were as good as they... I was surprised that he made them first, because I didn't know. And he was very apprehensive about it, but they sounded beautiful. I was like, I want that beat. And he was like, here you go.
Free.
Another beat on there is by a producer named Ill Mind. And, you know, he's very prolific, very much a name, I guess, in the hip-hop circle, underground. Not even underground. He's just around. He works with a lot of people. Dr. Dre, 50 Cent, Kanye West.
I know these names.
Yeah, right? These are names. And so when I got the chance to, you know, get a beat from him, I jumped at it, you know, obviously. And I'm trying to pull some other names out the hat. There's a guy named Tito Tunes who did a beat. And a guy named Kayeen. These are, for the most part, local Philadelphia people. And I want to say that's it. Just like, you know, a couple of people helped me out and threw me some really, really good beats. And I was able to put together, you know, solid.
So would you take your math anxiety and you'll go to one of these guys and you'll talk to them about how to sort of set it to a beat, or you have some ideas in your head?
Yeah, you know, collaborating is I don't know if there's a science to it. You just kind of use what resources that you have at the time. So the math problems, I never approached one person with it. Actually, two. And one didn't work, and the other it worked a little bit better. And so we kind of pushed for it, and that's pretty much what it is. Like, so if you don't want to force anything, and if it doesn't work, you don't want to like make a crappy song. So it's like, all right, let's not. Nah.
Yeah, it's so funny because I've always known these sort of garage guys who will rap and the garage guys who will make beats, and I just wondered how they sort of got together. And in a professional sort of sense, it's. Yeah.
If money is in the discussion, then it's fine. So if people are being compensated, then, you know, it's fine. But I guess where I am in a lower ranks of being independent.
Don't undersell yourself.
I don't want to. Yeah, I certainly. I'm the best. I'm the Kanye West of of rap. But there's already one, I guess.
Kanye West of East Philadelphia?
Best of rap.
It was a running joke. He said Great Britain is the Kanye West of Europe because it's self-proclaimed great.
Yeah.
Earlier today. But
Shibuya. Also, the Cork is the Kanye West of Ireland.
Yeah.
I think they're quite good.
But so collaborating is just weird, and I'm sure you know you work with people, and we all work with people for the most part, around them, under them, over them, next to them. That was weird. Anyway,
I was looking for something in terms of under over. I'm like, no, you're fine on your own.
Yeah, thank you for just leaving me there. But yeah, working with people is difficult, but fun, and it has all those elements that make it great and cool. It's never perfect. But sometimes you get a good project out of it, like Shaking Hands and Kissing Babies. Sometimes you don't. And that's as much as I can say, I guess, right now. I might write a book and send it off to the publisher and see what he thinks about it. Like,
you know how much I charge to give his number to somebody?
Really?
Yeah.
Not a lot. Oh, okay.
Whatever you got. He's got a big project at the moment on psychology.
Yeah.
He went off on that bit. It's really 1/10 or 1/20 perhaps of the book's content.
Oh, right. That's okay. Yeah, I didn't understand.
He did flip. I thought that. Now, apparently we've tapped into a vein of interest with the man. I appreciate that. He seems like an amateur, interested human being, I suppose, as far as I'll go.
He's very insightful.
Yeah, amateur human being, yes.
I think we all are. I mean, there's one question I really actually did want to ask you. Is the cover art?
Mm-hmm.
Where's that picture of? Is that a picture of an actual person? Is that a painting?
It's a doll. It's an actual doll. It's a doll that was being sold on eBay.
So for all you listening at home, by the way, and you type in Bull Bay, Shaking Hands, Kissing Babies, type it into Google image search, you will find the album cover, right?
Yep, for the most part, it'll pop right up. And it, you know, I had a checklist of things that I wanted to accomplish with the cover art. I wanted it to be simple. I didn't want my face on it. I don't know why either. I'm trying to think back, like, why didn't I want my face on it? But in any case, I wanted it to be simple. I wanted it to not have the actual words on there. I wanted it to have this element of youth. And I certainly wanted to grab you, you know, from the moment you saw it, second seeing it, I wanted it to absolutely grab your attention. And for me, as I went down a checklist, it did all that stuff. And so I was like, all right, this works. And I really just took the photo, threw some saturation over it, and not much else. That was with the help of my older brother. Shouts out to Kamal.
All right, okay, yeah, definitely.
Shots over to...
Who, by the way, from what I understand, he helped with your moniker, your stage name.
Yes, so, you know, my middle name, my full name is Amir Akram Bey Richardson. And so my family and friends all call me Bey. When I was coming up with stage names, which were horrible, it was the Flair.
Please tell me some Ridge.
Flair.
Oh, that's awesome.
Terrible.
That's so greatly terrible.
I don't even know if it was the. I think it was just Flair.
I'm just Flair. Fuck you.
It's like a wrestling name.
Yeah.
Because we think Ric Flair, I think. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking
it's
of.
Been, yeah. It's been taken, I think.
Oh, man.
But, man, holy shit. I think I'm going to jerk off thinking about that later. Hey, I'm Flair.
Is there a comic book hero like superpowers called Flair? Like,
I know. I hope not.
There's the Flash.
The Flash, yeah.
Yeah. I think you have Jubilee. Her power is like to flare.
Yeah. Just those little like fireworks. So it was Flare, and then it was Bless the Child. You had to say the whole thing. It's strange.
That's a toughie.
Yeah.
BTC.
I went through a lot of like corny names, and so I got to a point where I was like, I guess I'll just go with Bay. And then it kind of made sense too, because you know, with the audience, I want them to feel like my family and my friends. So I was like, Bay, whatever. Yeah, I've been called that since I was a kid. Go with that. But Bay was taken as I started to like try to develop an online presence. You know, Bay.com taken, at Bay on whatever social things taken, and so it was pretty crappy. So I think my first handle was like Bay from Philly or something like that, and my brother was like, just put the Bull Bay up there. So I put the Bull Bay up there.
For those who are a little maybe ignorant to West Philadelphia culture, the Bull means what's Bull?
Go ahead, finish it, man. I thought you were going.
Okay, so Bull is like with an accent saying your boy. So you basically say my boy, but it comes off sounding like Bull. It's my Bull.
Yeah, it's kind of a slur, a lazy bastardization.
I'm not sure how you get from boy to Bull, but.
It's a real bastardization of the word boy, for the most part. So,
you know, it always puts me in mind of Picasso as well, because he always quite associated with the bull, and he called himself the Minotaur, and there's all these sort of self-paintings about himself as the bull.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily like, you know, the animal. It's just like this real lazy way to say, I'm not quite sure how that happened either, how you got bull from boy. You know, but it happened.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to draw a line between those two things either. Yeah.
Those East Coast accents are wrecked anyway.
Yeah, they are. I mean, as you go from, like, you know, was it Boston and New York and all the way down to Baltimore. Baltimore has a funny accent.
Yeah.
She. In any case.
But I understand, there's a female artist called Bay with an A.
It was heartbreaking because there are a lot of Bays. I mean, only that, but you know, Beyonce's nickname is Bay.
Well, let's just come into the common parlance, like in the last 2 years or so, Bay.
I can't never tell.
But that's the B A E.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that.
You can tell me
that
white
thing.
People are like, oh yeah, no, we're totally down. Like we know about Bay.
Always last to the game.
I'm like,
it's still very much alive though. So I mean, I'm
relevant.
It wouldn't. I mean, it would be an entirely different situation if it was dead and gone, and you were using like some like slang from the 40s or something like that.
Like cowabunga.
Yeah,
from the 40s, like
Hang 10.
They were saying that a lot, but yeah. So and people started gravitating to the Bull Bay. People would call me that in public. I didn't like it, but someone told me.
Right.
Someone said, "Don't fight it." It was like, "Yeah, just go with it." With the Bull Bay, and after a while, I was like, "Yeah, that's not bad." I actually like that a lot better. It helps with those situations where you have a Bay, a Beyonce, or Yasin Bay. Which is the new handle that, or not new handle, but Mos Def's name.
I thought you were going to say something from like ISIS.
No. No.
Toby,
no.
Keep talking like that. You're going to get the NSA shit all over the show. No. I don't need that kind of hassle, man.
I thought we needed flair.
Oh, my God.
I need flair. Sorry, our guest in the studio is examining a cloudy bottle of water. That's not urine, Amir. That's a bottle of mead that's homemade honey water.
Oh, is that what this is?
Mm.
Okay.
I wouldn't recommend that particular one. That's the wedding one. Amir's right now, for those who can't see, looking at bottles and picked one up.
There are a lot of unfortunate. Nah, I guess it's fortunate that these things are empty. You guys were having a good time.
there's consequences to everything. I got a question out of left field for our guest. Would you rather fuck Jubilee or Rogue?
Jubilee.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Only because Rogue will suck your life force.
She'll die. You'll die. Yeah.
But if you use a condom or like a full like latex body outfit, maybe, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I like the security of knowing that I'm not going to ever have my life force sucked out of me by having sex with Jubilee. I like that comfort.
As sexy as it sounds in concept, in reality, I don't think that's going to be the one you want.
I mean, Jubilee is a teenager, though. Maybe I shouldn't have...
What have we done?
Yeah.
No, man, but on the first track on your album, I think I will give you my heart, but I won't give you my soul, and I hope you can tell the difference, effectively. I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, so... Sure. You'll give her the juice, but you won't give her your essence.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
All right, Amir, you're no stranger to Unfix, and you've heard of the segment Pet Cemetery, have you not?
Yes.
Toby, you're new to the show, which is weird, because he's a co-host, and the guest knows all the fuck about this show, and my co-host knows dick one about it.
Yeah, I read it on a list earlier.
Yeah, he did, and he did really well. Anyway, so we do a segment called Pet Cemetery, in which we ask a guest, or you know, even just a call-in guest, to describe a colorful explanation, or just you know, an anecdote about losing a pet, and it's supposed to be cathartic and somehow healing. What it normally winds up being is kind of weird and awkward and gory. I just refuse to kill the segment. It was a brainchild. It was a brainchild one morning, and it will not fucking die. Yeah. Amir, will you humor me and do a pet cemetery for us, please?
Of course.
Shit, man. I just heard you say your friends and family really call you Bay. I've been calling you Amir for fucking 12 years now, man.
I
can switch over. I can change.
Nah. I mean, you know how that goes. Your mom probably calls you something or refers to you.
She calls me Josh. She thinks
I'm brother's name.
She accidentally calls me Josh regularly. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it just happens. Like, you know, people that you've grown up with, it doesn't mean anything. You know, but I love my name.
Some of my uncles call me Toby, interestingly. I mean, my middle name is Tobias.
Yeah.
So, sure, some people still call me Toby, and it's endearing, really, so.
Yeah, it's something where you kind of know you're home when someone's calling you that. But I love Amir, and I certainly... You know, if that's the name that you take to, that's fine. I love that.
It's just
that
how
name.
I was introduced to you.
And it's a
strange relevance.
That's how it works.
I find that often Toby is the name for pets.
Really?
It happens, man. Oh, and it's also the baby in Labyrinth, dude.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Pet names are pretty hard. I do a poor job, or have done a poor job in the past. Like, and I guess I'll just go
naming pets.
Yeah, no. Well, that's a great segue, Amir. Bay. So give me some time with it, huh? So yeah, that's an excellent segue. We are going to do Pet Cemetery, and we are going to do it right now.
Glasses in the air for Lucy. This story is about Lucy. Lucy the lizard. Lucy was a Savannah monitor. I was really excited about getting Lucy. This was in 2010, I believe. I had a bit of a lizard thing growing up. Thank you. As I'm pouring a glass of whiskey for Lucy.
You're in Ireland.
Yeah. There
you're
go.
Allowed.
So yeah, I had a thing about lizards growing up. I liked lizards. And so 2010, I got a lizard. She was a hatchling, meaning she was a wee one, tiny. Got her, brought her home, took care of her for about a week. And what happened was I would feed her crickets. I would leave the crickets inside the tank, and she could get these things on her own, you know, whenever she felt like it. But she's a hatchling, and apparently crickets are disgusting creatures. They leave excrements and, you know, body flakes all over the place, and they nibble and claw at everything. And stop. This is a really hard moment. They nibble and claw at everything. And they even eat their own body parts if they can't find food. So crickets are pretty horrible, disgusting creatures. And so I would just dump a shitload of crickets into the tank. And I'd be like, yeah, she'll just, you know, pick them off when she, you know, so chooses. And that didn't happen. What happened was the crickets killed and clawed and scraped and bit at Lucy, the lizard. And I feel like a dick because I feel like I pretty much killed my animal out of just ignorance. And, you know, I feel like I killed her in an American way, too. Like, let me just overpower this. Just dump as much as I can into this tank. You know, no amount of, like, I don't know, no pacing, nothing. And because she was a hatchling, you know, lizards, you can't necessarily tell their sex until their adults develop. So her name's Lucy, but I'm not quite sure if she was a boy or a girl, and we'll never find out. I just killed a baby lizard, and that's the story of Lucy. And I'm gonna have this glass of whiskey in Lucy's name.
Father of the Year award, man. What the fuck happened?
Jesus, dude.
Lucy.
Not bad, man. How did you find Lucy dead? Did you like walk in and like?
I came in and she was just not moving, and because she was a hatchling, you know, everything's new, so she's kind of twitchy and scared. She would normally shoot under this like rock I had, and she wasn't shooting under there. She just was sitting stiff, looking in one direction.
Covered in crickets that were eating.
And crickets were crawling on her. Crickets were like crawling on her tail and her arm and face. And I was like,
biblical plague.
It was pretty bad, and I felt terrible. I still feel terrible.
Oh man, I killed a snake one time. I just didn't feed it enough. I don't know. Reptiles are very hard to take care of.
They are. And I realized, like, you know, I'm trying to like simulate, you know, East Africa in my bedroom.
Sure.
You know, trying to find lamps and pads and rocks and trees. Really, it's just, I respect breeders.
Not
I respect
your fault,
those
man.
People. Yeah.
It's not your fault. Goodwill Hunting. Not your fault. Film I've actually never seen.
You've never seen Goodwill?
I haven't seen it either.
I haven't.
Really?
So we were just talking about Matt Damon, who played the Green Lantern, if I understand correctly.
No. Ryan
Seacrest.
I'm just asking you to picture that.
Yeah, Ryan Seacrest. Yeah.
Just picture that shit. Imagine if Matt Damon actually tried to play Green Arrow Lantern.
If anyone tried to play the Green Lantern, I don't know that's
Goblin,
really
dude.
Playable.
Yeah, the Green Lantern.
What was dude's name in the Spider-Man films? Jonathan Spider-Man with Green Goblin?
Green Anchovy.
I don't know.
Jonathan Spider-Man, right? And the Green Anchovy.
Dr. Superman will see you now. I'd like to introduce you to my attorney, Michael Batman. Precisely. I mean, it was a pet cemetery for the ages. I appreciate that.
Thank you, man.
We
had a moment.
We had a late night.
Had a
moment. You stepped up to the plate, swung.
Wait. The pet cemetery. How did you deal with the death? What did you do with the corpse?
Did you
flush it?
I just threw it in the trash. I was first off
in the trash.
It was
There is a space between flushing and burying, and it's in the trash.
Yeah, it was pretty disrespectful. I'm not gonna lie, just like I feel terrible about it because it was just pure ignorance that led to her death or his death. I don't know about this lizard.
We'll all learn from this.
Yeah.
I used to have hamsters, another meaningless pet, and they died in a similar way.
Toby, hold on to your pet death stories, because sometimes we'll be start for a guest, we won't have a guest, and so we'll have to dig something up from your pet cemetery. Or
I'm excited.
Were you one of those kids that just throughout childhood had random animals around you?
Yeah,
I lived in the forest.
I was an adult when these animals died.
Yeah. Now, for me, I had like cats and frogs and turtles. And
cats and frogs?
Yeah.
Cats and frogs. It's like the turducken thing, right?
It was weird. Holy say the least.
All right, guys. Not bad. Anything else on your mind, Amir? Anything else relevant for you?
Yeah. Check out the music, The Bull Bay. That's all. Yeah,
what's your contact info? I mean, how do people look at you? I mean, in Spotify, iTunes, yeah, whatever. But
everything.
What's your favorite way for people to get in
at the
contact with your art? At the spa.
The social things are really, really good. Honestly, Instagram, I'm all over that, and also Twitter and Facebook. And it's The Bull Bay. You don't. I mean, just spell it the best way you can. Whatever. It's not the
one
bull.
One L.
Yeah, so just one L.
The B U L B E Y.
Yeah, and you'll find me. Hit me up if you're in Philadelphia.
Give him a reach around, the biggie.
Hit me up. Come and see me. I'm in the reach around. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, before we let you go, Amir, the night you host, it's called Family, Friends and Family?
Yeah, so every third Saturday, GL Productions, Matthew Love, put together this wonderful party. It's legitimately a party. People ask me, like, so what do you do? And I'm like, it's a party. You just party, you know, and it's called Friends and Fam. So every third Saturday, we do that. This particular month, though, it's going to be on the second Friday, so the 11th. And how the party is formatted is we get a guest DJ. And Matthew Law, the resident DJ, and the guest DJ go back and forth. The beautiful thing about this month is we have Benji B coming out. And I'll be perfectly honest with you. I wasn't, you know, there's DJ culture, man. And there's like real, real DJ culture.
You are in Europe. There's DJ culture here you don't want to know about.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. But the beautiful thing about it is Benji B is from, I shouldn't.
No.
Is it this? Hands in the air?
Kind of like that. Yeah, keep it going. Keep it going. Ron Damon in the Ryan room, the Rose Scott style.
I think Hands in the Air just came to Ireland maybe in the last year or two.
Yeah. In any case, Benji B is from BBC Radio 1, which is awesome. Just for me, just to sit back, be a part of this, and watch the growth. You know, Friends and Fam started off pretty much its roots was a house party. You know what I mean? And so see a house party grow and now start to kind of get a bit global and expand and connect with BBC Radio 1. Like, that's incredible.
No shit, that's no joke.
So he's coming out, Benji B, March 11th. If you're in Philadelphia, you should definitely be there. It's going to be crazy. It's a nice little venue called Kung Fu Necktie. I love the name.
It's cool.
Yeah.
That's smart.
I don't know who came up with that, but it works. So it's nice and cozy. We get drunk and we dance and we have a good time. We do it every month. And it is a
relentless.
It is
inspiring.
Yeah, it's crazy. And we're going to be in South by Southwest in Austin, Texas.
No shit.
Doing the party. Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah, the party.
Tour.
I wish it was a tour. That's definitely in the future. Touring Friends and Family, just touring in general. We all love to travel. I think we all travel quite a bit. I seen your passport yesterday. It was freaking ridiculous.
I had to have new pages added.
Yeah,
it's double thick
because
I ran. Look, now you move over here. There's an airline called Ryanair, and you can go anywhere you want for like 50 fucking euro, man. It's
balling.
I'm
balling. Double thick.
Thanks everybody. Yeah, but I am bawling, but just medium style.
Yeah. So yeah, traveling is awesome. I'm always trying to become more mobile. I'm always trying to, because you know, like I said, people are at the core of it all. I'm just trying to talk to people, meet people. I'm a people person, but I have to have that balance too. So I don't want to be around people all the time, but certainly want to talk to people, get to know them.
Bull Bay in the studio. It's been fucking real. I'm gonna throw your ass out here. We're gonna do the scary goddamn news, and then we're going to do the segment that we like to call "For Shame for Sale," in which we look at a weird advertising item and make fun of it.
I'm looking forward to this scary goddamn news.
Yeah, you know, the scary news this time is it's pretty. It'll make your short and curlies probably shrivel up and fall off. What the
shorter fuck? And curlier?
Ah, man. All right. So, everybody, Bull Bay, Philadelphia based rapper. Check
you gotta
the
say the
fuck out. The Bull Bay.
You gotta
if
say
you
the.
Have not, if you're not already subscribed on Spotify, get your shit together.
Yeah, gotta put the in there. Gotta say the Bull Bay.
One, two,
there's
three.
Another guy who's just Bull Bay and he doesn't.
Here we go. Where I live. You better lock your door. Get lost up around here. We gone.
Where I'm from. Where I'm from.
Word.
Where I'm from. Where I'm from.
Look, look. Here we go again, where I'm from, man. The people is as cold as the wind. If you say the wrong thing, you'll be holding your chin. Niggas sucking in their chain, cause they know what it is. And women hold down two jobs just to hold up their sons. They holding down the world, but they never hold their tongue. Like you a lying ass, dirty ass, cheating ass, stinky ass, ugly ass, crusty ass, dusty ass, bitch. They get their heart broke from these lying ass men. They run around the streets just lying to their kids. It's real, man. I'm from the unpaid pavements, the light bills kept cause of the unpaid payments. They shooting at the cops, the public transportation. It's been this way since I was jumping on a mattress in every block party. Swear it's like a classic. The drill team is jamming. Your drunk uncle was dancing like, yeah, I tell him.
Where I live, you better lock your door.
Yeah, what's up?
Get lost up around here.
Yeah, and guess what, little homie?
We gone.
Where I'm from, where I'm from.
Hey, I throw your motherfucking hands up.
Where I'm from.
Trying to get bread with my people, low key, no kilo, chilling like white people, sitting up in gazebos. I never ever change, like my clothes is a week old. Burned my second home, but it's still 2:15. Yeah, Tim Tebow, eating a cheesesteak, salt, pepper, and ketchup, but you know that that's the trio. Oh, cause that's how I do things, never tie my shoestrings. And I go to house parties, still do the Wu-Tang, raised off of food stands, girls in the back, yeah, getting sauce like bouquets. Hey, look, and I'm not even ashamed of it. I call it home sweet home, y'all call it dangerous. Where the police roam and try to bang on us. But this is daily living conditions. You better get accustomed before you become a victim. You better get the picture before you become a pixel. You dig, I tell him.
Thanks once again to our guest, the Bull Bay, a.k.a. Amir Richardson. Scholar, gentleman, cool dude, good friend.
I can't believe we had a real rapper on our show. That's pretty exciting. That's pretty international.
We did. We fucking nailed it, right? I mean, it's our first show, and we're fucking killing it.
If we had a wrestler on our show, it couldn't be better than that.
Look, you kind of told me you didn't really want to go in that direction, so...
Yeah, no, I mean, I was just talking about the fact that there'd been a wrestler emphasis in the past.
No, there's been a wrestler in the past in the shows because we went to wrestling and... We met these guys and we're like, fuck it, let's just talk to these assholes. Really cool guys. Actually, really, 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 really nice people.
Wrestling is awesome.
You don't come enough, dude.
Hey, look, I have other things. Look, sometimes I just want to get drunk in my underpants by myself.
Sometimes?
Often.
Often.
Always.
Come on.
Look, there's no more than always.
That's where my head went also. I'm like, wait, what's more than always, for sure? All right, so a little bit of Jesus Christ, Toby. I just got a little apprehensive.
Why?
I don't know. I just kind of feel a little bit eerie.
Something shitty's going to happen.
Something shitty's been happening for the last hour and 3 minutes.
Something scary and shitty.
The shittiest witch. Right, so I don't know about you, man, but holy fuck, my neck hair just standing up. Like, no joke.
My neck beard's going too.
Sometimes fucked up shit comes up, and we have no choice but to talk about it because it makes news. It makes the scary news. Portland, Oregon. An unexplained high-pitched tone has kept residents of a Portland suburb awake at night for at least a week, confounding the best efforts of police and firefighters to pinpoint its source. Officials in the community said on Monday. Adding to the mystery is the fact that the noise, a steady, whistle-like note resembling a flute, has only been reported after dark. In Forest Grove, a rustic community of 22,500 people, located about 25 miles, that's 40 kilometers for your master people, west of Oregon's largest city.
The Masters.
Former residents say they remember a similar sound echoing through the night air several decades ago, which is good memory recall. Good short-term, long-term memory recall, everybody. According to reports filed with the Forest Grove Fire and Rescue, which sounds a lot like Raccoon City to me. Resident Evil 1, anybody? An emergency agency spokesperson said, the tone is unusual for its combination of high pitch and ambiguous point of origin, said audio engineer Tobin Clooney, president of the company Liston Acoustics, who agreed to informally assess the phenomenon for Reuters on Monday.
That's the scariest part.
Higher frequencies like this tone are very directional sounds, versus the low frequency sounds which can seem to come from anywhere, or perhaps even anywhere at once, or everywhere. Clooney said, cautioning that he had listened to poor quality recordings. Yeah, like what you're doing right this moment. But made a thorough investigation. What surprises me is that neighbors have not been able to locate where this is coming from. Cooley speculated that the sound could be coming from a release of compressed air or natural gas. Shit, my song's about to end. I gotta play that shit again. Hold on. It's not the scary news without the goddamn, without the Halloween theme, man. I can't do it. Hey. Well, no. Thank you. Alright, we're back. Cooley speculated that the sound could be coming from a release of compressed air or natural gas. Makes sense. But officials with the local gas company said they had ruled out any of the utility's equipment or pipelines as a source. I'm sure they're dead on with that, because they checked every goddamn inch of every fucking line, right? They know what they're talking about. We sent a tech out, and he spent the whole day investigating, said Melissa Moore, spokeswoman for Northwest Natural Gas. She added that a gas leak would also produce an odor, which has not been reported. Although the Forest Grove Fire Department is collecting... Would you break? Although the Forest Grove Department is not collecting information about the sound, Reuters is. Firefighters do not know what to do about it, a spokeswoman for the agency said. We aren't waiting for it to make a noise. We are going about our duties, she said.
Whenever I hear a noise, I always report it to the authorities.
High-pitched noise only after dark. Old people say that it happened 3 years ago.
From all directions at once.
No, that was the low-pitched ones.
Oh, shit.
The sound engineer, who was working off the clock, said that it's high-pitched and therefore monodirectional. So it's coming from a source.
Ooh, okay.
Which nobody can fucking seem to locate. It's
no
called...
No one can find the noise in Portland.
Is there not like a goddamn amplitude... Is there not like an amplitude meter in which you can just like, you know, walk outside and it measures how loud shit is? And
often. If he was there on the case at the time, he might have been able to triangulate. But as he came after the time, he only has user reports to reflect upon.
And then we found out that the lizard was dead, covered in crickets.
when I say crickets with that accent, I kind of actually started thinking about the sport, which is not helpful for anybody at all. So, all right, we're pushing an hour 8. No biggie, but so we got one more segment to go through. Toby, this is a little segment that I asked you to bring to the show. This is Toby's own contribution, which is cool as shit, I think. It used to be called the weird eBay item of the week. Now, that was in 2006, which made a teensy-weensy bit more sense because eBay was a tiny bit more relevant back
then. Currently
garbage. I buy a lot of... Dude, I think... No, not the microphone you're talking into, but the microphone Bay was talking into earlier came from eBay, which actually says a great deal about
it's
quality.
Of a gold microphone, so maybe I'll just retract that garbage statement.
It's gilded. You can melt that shit down, and you can basically deal with the fact that you've got a golden pool of... You remember that scene in Game of Thrones in which the Khaleesi and what's-his-nuts, the fucking horse guy... And they pulled molten gold onto dude's head. And
molten
like,
gold. is that your publisher's name?
He's my manager. No, that's my PR exec guy. Morton Gold, my PR manager. They poured molten gold onto the head of some dude, blonde kid who was like, "I'm the king." He's like, "Crown for king." You remember this, right?
Yeah, yeah, totally. That was quite exciting.
Supposedly, like, the truthers are like, there's no fucking way gold would boil that low of a boiling point.
Well, apparently, historically, Genghis Khan did that to the, essentially the mayor of Babylon when he killed everyone. Sorry, not Babylon. What's the capital of Iraq?
Baghdad?
Baghdad, yeah, yeah. There was a total murder in Baghdad around about the 13th century.
Everybody, hold on. Breaking news. There was a total murder in Baghdad around the 18th century.
13th
century. You heard it here. Breaking news on Unfixed. A total fucking murder in a war-torn country hundreds of years ago.
Gold on head murder.
Gold on head murder. Dude, like, people on the web said that gold would not melt over a normal wood-burning fire. You know about chemistry and physics and shit, but that would it melt?
You'd have to really force it with air. But yeah, I reckon you'd probably about manage it.
That's the same response you gave to me when I asked, "How's your love life?"
Boom,
bang. So a segment we used to call the odd eBay item of the week. It's now called "For Shame, For Sale: A Look at an Odd Advertisement."
Yeah, all right, so.
You don't know about me and my theme music.
Now my aunt, I got my teeth in nice and straight. Chicken nuggets in my pants. I'm on my way to the Buckeye State. Oh, hi, oh, hi, oh. Round on the end, high in the middle. Oh, hi, oh, hi, oh.
Right, so I was traveling through Africa, as one does, and you travel through all these little townships, and I came across one which was called Omello Town. And I got given this flyer as I was wandering down the street. That's a lie.
Dear. This is true life now, okay? You're making shit up.
This is a lie. I wasn't really walking down the street. That's far too dangerous. I was given it while I was driving in a car.
I've been to South Africa. It's sometimes a little bit fucking hairy out there.
Terrifying. Terrifying sometimes.
People used to approach me and go, "Dude, you all right?" I'm like, apparently I'm fearless.
That's right. He is fearless. But, yeah, I was you know, told about the exciting exciting properties of the Professor Cox. He's apparently a medicine man, and he brings medicine from both India, China, and Africa. Both India, China, and Africa.
Okay, so this is audio only, so describe to us what you're looking at right now.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at a small piece of paper, badly printed, bad stock. And it has some pictures of some unidentifiable fruits and roots and a rat. But if I have a look closer, the services that Professor Cox offers are business attraction. Well, that's quite exciting. Everybody wants a bit of business.
Attraction, though. But, like, I don't want to start a business as such, but I want, to just come to me.
But there's a difficulty, because, you know, other people might have been bewitched or have skin diseases, and that also is a simple kind of task
but
for
this is
Professor Top.
This is anti for that, right?
Yeah, 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 yeah. This is what it can solve.
It would cure that, okay.
Maybe you want to bring back a lost lover. You know, this is something that everybody can relate to. Maybe you want to win the lotto or the casino. Maybe you're a woman and you have long periods. That's a big problem.
So the
Professor Cox!
I have long periods. Which is actually a dash. It's no longer a period, because, like, if it's a period, it's just a dot, and if it's long, it's a dash.
I think we call that dead air in radio.
Fuck you. Go on.
What about a woman who cannot produce? That's a problem as well.
We call that infertility.
Not fecund at all. Infecund.
So this flyer guarantees by eating these odd little things that you will...
Yeah, as we work down the line, we can get to some more exciting abilities, such as we reduce women's vagina and safe abortion.
Jesus. Which are in complete and utter contradiction to one another.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, we have a smaller vagina. That's
No, Toby, I know you haven't performed many abortions, from what I understand. You have to dilate the birth canal.
But I can imagine it's basically just sort of jabbing the coat hanger right up in there.
Jesus, dude.
I'm not a doctor, so I couldn't really talk to this. But say you want to improve your thickness and strong erection.
Wow.
Professor Cox,
everybody.
Say you want to make more rounds during sex. Professor Cox. Say, HIV and AIDS symptoms are troubling you from day to day. Is that a problem that you have, Adam?
No. It's actually not.
Really. I'm not even sure that I could identify HIV and AIDS symptoms.
Persistent cough, sarcoma, meaning the dark spots of the skin.
Skinny, being an artist.
Weight loss, night sweats.
Coming up next, we remove bad luck and give good luck. Professor Cox.
Pussy too big?
Professor Cox.
Bad luck, abortion, AIDS, you got it.
Really hammering on the big cock here, because number 19 is we make men's penis big and strong permanently.
Holy shit, man.
Because capitals on the permanently.
Temporary stuff has honestly burned a hole in my wallet and left me a tiny bit desperate.
While we're talking about periods, look at this. Two long periods? Now, vaginal discharge, can't see periods. So, period not big enough, period not small enough.
And this is
Professor Cox!
But these are the same herbs each time, right?
Well, maybe. I don't know. I mean, are you coming back multiple times? Are you
testing
each other?
These are the questions I'd ask in the waiting room.
Professor Cox would have none of that. You'd be out. I can only think of Professor Cox. Like, who was it? Was the guy in Scrubs? Like the mean doctor.
Oh right, yeah, dickhead. Yeah, sure.
He may have been Professor Cox. Dr. Cox.
We should get Nina
Could
in
have
here.
Done that?
Nina will be able to answer this question for us.
Number 21, the last one here. Do you want to enjoy sex?
No.
So you know, if you're not enjoying sex somehow.
Run down the list real quick. Just hit the big ones. What do these herbs do?
Skin disease, win lotto, long periods, short periods, ejaculation, big penis, small penis, large vagina, small vagina, abortion, diabetes, asthma, exams, pregnancy.
I like how we can cure AIDS. That's honestly my favorite. I have to be honest. All right, my dude. So I think we're gonna wrap this shit up, huh?
Yeah, okay. Well, with that kind of music, it sounds like about the end.
So the reason this theme song exists for this segment is because I didn't have a theme song queued up for it, and I grabbed iTunes, and it was just a song, and then it just would not stop doing it.
Maybe Professor Cox can cure that as well.
Yeah. Wait, where did you put the flyer? Don't lose that shit, man. I would like every single person who listens...
Oh, my God, the other side is in African.
Yeah, right. It's in the... It's in Afrikaans, or who knows, man. Nkosi, or Zulu, perhaps. I would love to thank every single human being who's hearing my voice right now for giving us the time to talk into your ear anyway. I'd like to thank my co-host, Toby Hallam.
Very happy to be here.
What do you think? Do one more, maybe?
Yeah, let's try it again.
All right, we need to get a cool guest, too, though, so we have to keep your eyes out for somebody who's got an interesting job, perhaps, or just something, an interesting story to tell.
Quasi-mad.
Is it probably willing to do Pet Cemetery? It's a really a train wreck on the air. Sincerely, though, if you listen to the shit, thanks so much for tuning in. I am Adam Jensen.
And I'm Toby.
And we will see you some other time. Take care of yourselves. One love, mango.
The fat is in the fire. A fryer made of chicken wire. Getting sick and tired of a friggin' liar. Pelican with some very soft mangoes. A closet full of skeletons and terry cloth kangos. Flew the coop before you hit it, let me warn you. She did a cool hula hoop, but don't get any on you. It's all a big scam to make y'all eat pig ham. When he's on the mic, he's like the trigger man. Fig jam, doom. Not to be confused with nobody, especially Sister Flo, she used was so nutty. Never too woozy to go study. Crews got no clues like old cruddy. Officer McGillicuddy, watch your six. He got a lot of more tricks, lyrics, bricks on sticks. Sure got raw nitics. It's a gift, don't get shot for kicks. With the same slick used to plot sick vics with. Spotted at a chick flick, holding hands. The other one on his swollen glands, a golden chance.
That's why he kept them holes in his pants. Rolling in the old van is what he told his stolen fans. Is that true? True. Match from hat to shoe. Snafu, snatching a brew. Labatt's blue. Black too, like that's new. Patch me through. No latch attached. Scat shoe. Catch 22. Super. He's loaded dice nice and overpriced. The arm and the leg, all me life, all your ice. Villain, nagger grieving old hag. Snagger bragger buys my cord and leave him holding the bag. Come clean, a bunch of dumb mean cream puff. A keen drum machine buff who fiends for more queen stuff. Instead of starving, there'd be problems about the goo gods, alright? Somebody's robbing Lou Dobbs them tonight. And he's on the next flight, moonbound. And makes it a point to stay away from the goon pound. Got some peers that's gone in the lost years. Tears and cheers, born in the cross ears.
Hey, Mr. Daniel Clay, what's that you were saying?
It is the robotic hymn of doom.
Well, I always say, nothing livens up a robotic hymn of doom better than an amazing pair of jugs.